Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 17th September 2021, and we're talking about the Federal Reserve's tapering strategy ahead of next week's FOMC meeting. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, it's an important week ahead for global markets. With the US Federal Reserve's latest FOMC meeting scheduled to take place, which could offer guidance on the tapering strategy, what's in store for emerging markets?
Thanks, Ona. So yes, a very important week ahead indeed for global markets and especially for emerging markets. So just taking a step back, the broad consensus view is that the Federal Reserve officials are preparing for a reduction in some pace and duration of the $120 billion of monthly asset purchases before the end of this year. Now, of note, Ona, was a Wall Street Journal article last week citing Fed officials that they were preparing for a November reduction and stated that a September taper announcement is unlikely. Now, we are cognizant that the global liquidity backdrop will eventually become less supportive as the Fed inches towards tapering its monthly asset purchases. And granted, the Fed's communication strategy has become more delicate relative to the taper tantrum episode of 2013. But what is clear is that the Fed tapering will slow the pace of global liquidity growth, which in turn impacts fund flows into emerging markets with 9 to 12 month lag based on our modeling estimates. And as such, the Fed's taper presents considerable drawbacks for the emerging market outlook in the remainder of 2021, with a pickup in volatility and associated capital outflows firmly on the table. Indeed, gyrations in markets and uncertainty around the timing of US policy normalization have already contributed to emerging market volatility ever since the Fed initially turned hawkish in mid-June of this year. However, the actual Fed's taper, and to some extent, ECB tapering, could mark the beginning of a different regime. That is to say, there is a possibility that the new 2024 dots at the September FOMC might surprise market expectations on the hawkish side. And by definition, hawkish surprises for US policy would be a headwind for emerging markets. But on aggregate, we believe that emerging market assets, notably in the rate space, will show some resilience. And the reason being that while the sharpest move higher in emerging market bond yields over the last 10 years, aside from the volatility of March 2020 during the height of the initial draconian lockdowns, have taken place around the 2013 taper tantrum, we view that the shock of the eventual taper announcement should be relatively more muted this time around, with the upcoming policy normalization already well telegraphed and markets positioned accordingly. And we view this should also hold for emerging markets, given the risk premium accumulated over the past few months, especially in the high yield space at least.
And Essan, building on this, could we say that emerging markets are better prepared this time around for a Fed taper relative to the taper tantrum episode?
Absolutely, Ona. Yes, numerous emerging markets have already begun to hike interest rates to stem the inflationary pressures, as well as to preempt a repeat of the taper tantrum in 2013 by increasing the risk premium. And in emerging markets across EMEA region, the likes of Czech Republic, Russia, Turkey, and Ukraine are already several months into front-loaded hiking cycles, although we would caution the neo-Fischerite rebellion narrative that could push Turkey towards a premature easing cycle in the last quarter of this year. And what's more, the Czech Republic and Hungary have combined rate hikes with hawkish forward guidance. Now, meanwhile, for Latin America, Brazil remains the standout emerging market, proactively hiking since March. And also the likes of Mexico, Chile, and Peru have all turned to hikes following hawkish impulses. Meanwhile, in Asia, the monetary policy narrative has shifted for South Korea, with policymakers cautiously hiking in recent weeks. And so, Ona, we could say that there is now a delicate balancing act for emerging market central banks between keeping monetary policy loose to stimulate delicate reopenings, but also being vigilant to the risks of inflation, especially second-round effects, as well as capital flows, and not lagging in policy shifts by developed market central banks and tightening by other emerging market peers that could lead to arbitrage positioning. So on the whole, emerging markets do remain better positioned this time around relative to the 2013's taper tantrum episode, as beyond the preemptive rate hikes compared to the 2013 period, which featured sharp upgrades in expectations of US infrastructure expenditures, the current increase in commodity prices has been significant, which is a very big positive for emerging markets, as well as separately and rather crucially, emerging market external balances are significantly healthier compared with most other times in the post-Great Financial Crisis of 2008-2009 era, even among the many high-yield countries that traditionally run current account deficits. And so therefore, for us, the EM complex is less reliant on external financing relative to before. But I would end by saying, Ona, that a key risk is that, yes, the emerging market real rate cushion is increasing, but it may still be insufficient to stem the challenge of potentially a much more hawkish Fed, which could amount to a sharp reversal of capital flows into EMs.
And finally, Ehsan, where is your focus and guidance for investors to position to navigate the Fed's deliberations next week?
So, Ona, succinctly, our preference is on countries where external balances are strong, economic growth is robust and conservative, and where the risk premium on offer is getting a little bit more attractive, which in this regard and connecting broader fundamentals, we favor the likes of Czech Republic, Egypt, Hungary, Poland, Russia, and amongst the GCC countries, we like Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
Right. Thanks very much for that insight, Ehsan. Have a wonderful week and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and contact your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.